The Church of Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut welcomes you to this edition of Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and in this broadcast, we will be continuing a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. The focus for these messages has been Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, where Paul speaks of the gospel of God. Quote, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And Pastor Greg has discussed from the letter to the Hebrews how Jesus, in this world walking as one of us, had complete victory over the flesh, living a sinless life, now glorified at the right hand of the Father, as our faithful high priest, he is able to help us in our struggle as his power comes down upon us. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg Scalzo, and we'll go back a minute in the sermon for context.
He sends his eternal spirit to us in these mortal bodies, but what happens? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, the old way of the flesh has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The power of heaven comes down. And the victory he achieved is now for us. And only he, and that's why this is at the beginning of the book of Romans, that it says, according to the flesh, Son of Man, according to the Spirit of holiness, Son of God, only he, the Son of God, according to the Spirit of holiness, could do it. No one else could. Why do we need Jesus? John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. So as we see, as we go on to this letter to the Judaizers, to those who get all caught up in religion and what they can do, the preeminence from the very beginning of the letter, apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Alone, we cannot have victory over the world. We cannot have victory over the devil, over his demons. We cannot have victory over our own flesh. We can do nothing without him. Jesus conquered all. Now, some listening to this sermon might have a struggle with the flesh, but really all of us have that struggle in different ways, different degrees. Perhaps the flesh is not obedient to the higher calling of God, to the desire of your spirit. And Jesus understands. He was Son of Man. He himself suffered when he was tempted. He sympathizes with our weakness. He was in all points, Hebrews 4:15, tempted as we are, yet without sin, Son of God. The great mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh. His is the eternal spirit of holiness. And what does it say in that very next verse in Hebrews chapter 4? In verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Help, the high priest. He helps us. He can help us bring the flesh into obedience. He can help us have victory. If you're struggling with the flesh, you turn to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, help me. You had victory in this world and you offer that victory to me now. Send your Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit of holiness into my heart and make this flesh obedient unto you, and you will have victory. He will help you, and even your flesh will become obedient unto God. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And you see the importance of the resurrection. And any group, any cult that denies the resurrection, it's not Christian. The resurrection declared that Jesus never once sinned in the flesh. It declares his sinlessness. It declares that this one is the Son of God with power according to his Spirit of holiness. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Luke 1:30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So at the very beginning of this letter, of Paul's letter, you have Jesus, the fulfiller of the scriptures, Jesus, the fulfiller of the prophecies, Jesus, Son of Man, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus resurrected, Jesus lifted up. The gospel, the good news is about him. And Paul doesn't stop there. Look at verse 5 in Romans. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Through him, through Jesus, it comes through him. We received through him grace. We received through him apostleship. And that apostleship is to all nations, to call people from among all the nations. Some of your translations will say all the Gentiles. Now, the word there in the Greek is ethnos. We get ethnic from it. It means race, tribe, nation. And primarily the word means nation, as in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. But in every nation, ethnos. Okay. Sometimes, especially means foreign nations, non-Jews, the Gentiles, as it's in some of your translations. Matthew 4:15, quoting from Isaiah, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Well, the word for Gentiles in Isaiah is translated in the Greek New Testament, ethnos. So sometimes it does refer just to the foreign nations. But in the singular, it does also refer to Israel, to the Jews. Luke chapter 7, verse 3. So when he heard about Jesus, he, the centurion, sent elders of the Jews to Jesus, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one whom he should do this was deserving, for he, the centurion, loves our nation and has built us a synagogue, loves our ethnos. So there, the word nation is applied to the Jewish nation. The apostleship, the purpose of Paul's apostleship, is among all nations, not just the Jews. There's a new chosen people being called out here. He says that through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Now, if you have an NIV, it'll say to the obedience that comes from faith. To the obedience, literally, it is obedience of faith. Obedience of faith. Archibald Thomas Robinson, the Greek scholar, sees it, the Greek, as meaning the obedience which springs from faith. But it's really a small difference, because if you have obedience from faith, it means, first of all, you have to have faith. So that's why the New King James and the King James translates it obedience to the faith. Two key words, obedience of faith, faith and obedience. They go hand in hand. They're not unrelated concepts. It's not, well, I have faith, so I don't have to be obedient. No, rather, if you have faith, you should be obedient, right? He's not teaching the Gentile nations to go off and continue to live as they lived, to imagine as they imagined, to be caught in their greed and their immorality and their pagan idolatry. Rather, he's turning them to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the only way they can come in, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who desires to send us his spirit of holiness. So faith and obedience go hand in hand. It is the obedience of faith that Paul brings out, sent out as an apostle to all the nations. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus Christ.
While our radio programs are from past sermons, current sermons are live streamed on YouTube every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Join us for in-depth Bible messages by Pastor Greg and Associate Pastor Francis David for a celebration of the Lord's Supper and for prayer and conversation by Pastor Greg and myself. You can search YouTube for the Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle channel, or you can use the link on our church website at shiarjashub.org. Join us next time for Shiar Jashub.